pray for our time together, and then we'll jump right in. So. Father, thanks for the opportunity to be together tonight here in Houston. I pray that you would just open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to hear from you. Father, I pray that you'd use Margaret and I to just share the things that you've laid upon our hearts. And Father, I pray for each person in this room that you'd help us all to grow in our effectiveness in mentoring, discipling relationships. We love you, Lord. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so just real quickly, here's a picture of our family, framed on either side by our sons. Stephen on the left, he's a pilot in the Air Force, and Chris on the right just got out of the Air Force and is working for a company in Dallas. And then the gray-haired lady there is Margaret's mom, affectionately known as Mimi. She lives with us. So. And then Margaret and Heather in the center. This is at Stephen's flight school graduation, so kind of a big deal. A few years ago, Margaret and I had the opportunity to have lunch with a very seasoned navigator whose name is Skip Gray. He's in his 80s now, so he's been around for quite a while. And his primary ministry today is with doctors. And so he was telling us a story about how as much as doctors know today about our bodies and how everything works, they still don't really totally understand at the cellular level how when we take something in to eat, like the barbecue we had tonight, how it actually ends up being a cell in the end of our finger or in our liver or wherever it might be. They don't totally understand that. And it's really the same kind of way with what we put into our bodies mentally and spiritually in terms of our intake of food, of spiritual food. We don't really understand exactly how that whole process works. But if we're doing it right, when we take in God's word and we take in great sermons and that sort of thing, out comes Jesus. And that's kind of part of what we're going to talk about tonight, is this whole idea of how do we put the right things into our mentoring relationships so the right things come out of that. There's lots of choices of the kinds of foods that we're going to take in, and the primary job of a mentor is really to help select that food. And so we're going to talk about that as we move into to the talk tonight, and really how do we determine what kind of food to take in. So there's tons of choices of restaurants in Houston. I think that's one of the things that you guys are known for. I'd say after today's lunch, we could add Escalantes to the list. Amazing Mexican food. So, but as you think about restaurants and food choices and everything like that, we really want to carefully choose the restaurant, just like we want to carefully choose the person that we're going to mentor, our mentee. There's people from all walks of life and everywhere that, that want a mentor, but we want to be sure that we select one. That it's sort of like you want to pick a great restaurant so that you know you're going to enjoy a great meal, and so you want to do the same thing with the people that you mentor. And you don't want to make that decision alone, just like you go to Yelp or talk to friends about what restaurant to go to. We want to go to the Lord and really ask him about who should we be involved in mentoring. So I want to really encourage you to do that. As you look at who to mentor, one of the things that can be really helpful is this little acrostic here. It spells out the word faith. And so as we unpack that, we want somebody who's faithful, a person who really wants to grow. We want somebody who's available. They will be there to meet when you're supposed to meet. A key one is somebody that's an initiator. So you don't want to have to do all the work. You're not the one that makes every phone call, that always arranges the meetings, that sort of thing. You want people who are going to seek you out. I see some knowing looks there. You want somebody who's teachable. They really do want to learn and grow and change. And then last of all, you're looking for somebody that has a heart for God. So they really do want this transformational experience. So we want to select somebody who has those right characteristics, otherwise you're both going to be frustrated and it won't be a great experience that'll be reproductive into other people's lives. So once you've picked the restaurant, then you really want to go into the menu. And the most important thing about reviewing the menu is what we call the food factor. And in the case of mentoring, discipling, what you're really looking for is something that is clearly based on God's word, on the Bible. So it's really kind of like the difference between Prego that is flavored with meat and then Grandma's spaghetti sauce that has so many chunks of meat you can hardly find the tomatoes. And we're looking for something that really is really Bible first, not Bible flavored. So to paraphrase what the Capital One folks say, you gotta ask this question as you're looking at resources. What's on your plate? So what are you looking for in that area?
So the first course when you go to a restaurant is the appetizer. And tonight, Jeff, in the worship service, and the talk tonight was a perfect setup for this part, because really, even though we're talking about resources, you know, the appetizer whets your appetite. It really sets the pays for the whole meal and makes you even hungrier. And as we look at all of our choices, really the appetizer in the whole thing is relationships. It is all about relationships. So resources are important, and we're going to show you a lot of really good things. And I know you have good resources too, and know of good resources. But none of those resources are anything compared to the relationship you're going to be developing with the person that you mentor. That is so huge. So in developing relationships, and these may seem like old hat, but it, you know, if you go into it realizing this is going to take time, and if I'm going to have a really good mentoring relationship, it is going to take time, because it's all about living life together, and plus the resources. So to develop a relationship, spend time together, you know, have fun together, play as well as work and study. You know, you cannot get to know a person if you're just going to sit across from a table studying the Bible. I mean, you can, but you can't. You find out about people and you learn when you're just having fun and doing a good things together. You know, go to lunch together, go take a meal together, go to a ball game, go to a, you know, play, do something fun. Go, you know, go play whatever sports is that you like or they like. Just find out some things in common and do it together, but spend time together. Learn what they want. And, you know, observe their life to see what they need, because, you know, it's important that you meet the needs that they think they have, those felt needs, but there's going to be things as a mentor you will probably see in them through, especially lots of good questions, that you'll find that they need as well as they want. And, you know, your job as a mentor is to find resources and ways to kind of blend those two together. So, and there's one of the ways as you look at how to determine those resources. A huge part in getting to know them is really diagnosing where they are spiritually. So you have to really be good at diagnostics and looking for cues to diagnose. So we're going to show you a great diagnostic tool, and it's actually there on the table in that paper. If you see with the wheel on top, in the middle of your table, if you want to grab one of those. And we're going to need a volunteer. Who would like to volunteer? Do we have one volunteer?
Right here.
All right. All right. Why don't you come on up?
Everybody coming up?
Roy's going to do a little demonstration.
So we'll be gentle. Don't worry.
Thank you.
So you don't have to take a ton of notes, because this is really very completely laid out on this sheet of paper. But if you want to come right up
here. We knew the time was going to be short, and it's even shorter than what we, you know, had planned on in the beginning. So we have given you guys lots of notes on the resources, or some resources that we won't walk through. You can just take and read.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about your spiritual life and how you're doing in certain areas, okay? And I'm only going to ask you two different areas, so this wheel unpacks six different areas. So we're going to start with a wheel that represents our walk with God. And this really is about the disciple living the life. All right, so Carrie, tell me a little bit about kind of what your relationship with Christ is like. Would you say that Christ is the center of your life, or is he kind of maybe second place, third place? Where would you put Christ in terms of how you're doing in your relationship with him?
Well, he's supposed to be first all the time.
Okay.
Yes. But, you know, I kind of fall down here and walk over there, and I get tied up with other stuff. It's, you know, real life.
Uh-huh.
Of course, you know, whenever I'm grateful, there's praise, and I speak about the miracles that I see before my eyes, but I'm not always on that path. You know,
okay.
I'm Sarah sometimes. Hey.
Sure. Okay. All right. So maybe, you know, normally in our wheel, the center is right here in the very center, and that, you know, center represents Christ, but maybe we'll draw him just a little bit off center here. Okay? So, and that's very
common. He's supposed to be.
He's supposed to be in the center, and absolutely, that's true for every one of us. So if you think about the hub is really where the center is, where the power comes from a wheel. But if you think about a bicycle wheel, so you've got the tread out here, you've got the hub in the center, what is it that connects the hub to the outside?
Spokes.
The spokes, exactly. And so we're going to talk about six different spokes. I'm only going to ask you about two of them. I'm going to give you a little bit of a break. But the first one is the whole idea of how engaged you are in the Word. Mm-hmm. Okay? So on a scale of 1 to 10, tell me a little bit about give me a rating of how you feel like you're doing in your engagement with God's Word.
I read every day.
All right, awesome.
And I read more than just, like, I mean, I'm going through it systematically, but then I have other devotionals that I kind of kind of
okay.
use, like in the morning, or just stuff that's always sitting around my house. So it's easy for me to go, oh, God, let me see what that's, you know. And so I walk around kind of in my house.
Okay. And so beyond reading, what else do you do to engage with the word?
Well, I worship or sing out loud by myself.
Okay. Very good. All right. And how about meditating?
I mean, when I'm laying down, that's probably my most time of when I'll just think about what I've just read. I would consider that meditating.
Okay.
But
all right.
I don't, you know, of course, you know, when people ask me a question about anything, I can relate it to something in the Word.
Okay, great. So you can go back to that. How about memorizing?
No, I don't spend time on memorizing, like, the verses. But if you were to say to me something, I could probably get myself close enough that
right.
I could find
you
it.
You could find it, okay. A lot of times I'll think, oh, it's on the left side about halfway done, and it's highlighted in yellow, but I might not know exactly. All right, so if we're going to look at kind of one of the spokes being the Word, then, you know, we want our spokes to be nice and thick that really are connecting back to that hub. But maybe if we're not maybe practicing all those disciplines, maybe it's not quite as thick as a full blown, but it sounds like you're doing a pretty good job in that area. So I want to ask you just one more.
Mm-hmm.
And so this kind of represents our vertical relationship with God. So the Word is the way He speaks to us primarily, and then prayer is kind of the way we go back in terms of how we speak with Him. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you say you are in your prayer life?
I pray, but I mean, I know I'm supposed to be doing it more mentally all the time,
mm-hmm.
but I, you know, I'm busy. So, you know, when I have those busy mental moments, I'm not thinking about the Lord. I'm not.
Okay. So give me a number.
Oh, 50 at least.
Okay. All right. So 5 out of 10, 50. All right. So again, we're going to draw that prayer spoke, maybe not quite as thick as it could be, but it definitely is something that's representative of our life. Okay, so what we would do in sitting down with somebody is we'd actually walk through this with each of the different spokes of their lives. And so the six that are up here, we would also talk about fellowship and witnessing. So fellowship, you know, being in community with other believers, and then witnessing, sharing with those that are not yet in the kingdom. And then the last two areas, service and stewardship. And so let's say that we've done that. You know, say, for example, that you don't witness at all. You might have a broken spoke. You know, it's not even complete. I'm not saying that's
no.
you. But. And so then what we want to do as we use this as a diagnostic is, Carrie, I'd say, so of all these areas we've talked about, maybe pick one that you'd like to begin starting to work on. What might that be?
Probably I would probably want to focus more on the prayer part.
All right.
You know, I do service. I have fellowship. I fellowship with girlfriends that are Christian women. And I do witness and try to bring other people into our group. I have a lot of friends outside
sure.
of church, so I bring that in. I always mention, try to pull them in. I get a lot of turnoffs too, like, we're not talking about that now.
Okay.
I'm like, no, wait for the next 4 or 5 minutes to go by, and then it'll just get slipped in there again.
You
know?
There you
so
go.
Eventually it'll
okay, so prayer might be something. And so that's really what you would do, basically, is kind of try to identify a specific area that you're going to work on. And Margaret's going to come up and talk to us in just a second, and I do have a reward for you.
I get a reward.
So at the end, see Jim right here, and he will give you a gift card if you'll fill out the back of that.
Thank
you so
Jim.
Much for your help.
Thank you.
All right.
So one of the things, that's wonderful. That's being very vulnerable to come up here and do this. But you know what? If you do this with the people if you share with them like where you are, like, you know, Carrie could come and say, okay, now, you know, with my life, I'm really working on the witnessing because I'm just not very strong on that one. I'm just not doing that as well as I want to. That's really an area I'm focusing on now because my spoke is not as thick as it needs to be. You know, it kind of helps them understand we're all on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of you in here, I would expect to be, you know, pretty close to dead center. But you know what? We're all, you know, there are times if you think about just in your last week, if you start thinking about it, there's probably some decision, some thought, something that showed that Christ wasn't the center all the time, 24/7. We still have ways to go. And so, you know, if you draw yours just a little off center or something, you know, it just makes them feel a little more like, gosh, well, you know, I'm not the only one that's, you know, like off center, you know. And we all are. We are all in process. We're all growing. So, you know, kind of show them where yours are and then get to there. So, the next thing, though, because we're, you know, wanting to use right sources is to really think about, what level, and we're going to I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, there's a resource in the middle, the word hand. We're not going to talk about it all tonight. We're not going to have time. But you can just go ahead and take that. I'll tell you right now. You can take, it has a lot of aspects of the things on the wheel. And like for reading the, like for the word prayer, you can look, but it has like five different areas.
It looks like this.
And like if you talk about the word, if somebody says, because we have a lot of people who are really good at studying the word, and a lot of people you'll be mentoring have probably, you know, if they're in church, maybe they've been studying the word, like our kids, you know, they went to Bible study fellowship when they were 6 years old, and, you know, they were memorizing verses when they were old. They're not now, but they were then, you know, all kinds of things. And you'd say, how well you know the word? Oh, man, I know it. And they do. They know it. But you know what? If you go through that word hand, you know, they don't have a super big grip on the scripture because they're not memorizing and meditating. And if you want to use it as an illustration, every finger makes a stronger grip. And when you're meditating, people can't take that away from you. So anyway, it's a really great kind of way to evaluate too. So anyway, and then speaking of the word, we get into the main dish. And this is absolutely critical. Your main dish is that sustenance, you know, it's what really keeps you strong in there. And as you mentor, and this is a really important thing, to, regardless of what resource you're using, reading the word reflectively is huge. The Reveal is an assessment, a spiritual life assessment, that over 2,000 churches have taken. It is a statistically validated assessment. And the key finding that came out of that was that the number one thing for spiritual transformation in people at any maturity level is reading the word reflectively. So, you know, when you are with your mentor or your mentee, make sure that you are sharing from your reflective time in the word. Hey, you know, gosh, I had this, gosh, I was in the word 2 days ago. And God showed me this, or he said something to me, or I saw this. It was so cool. Listen to this. Listen to how it applied. And, you know, say, you know, is there anything in your time in the Word this week that has been very good? So build that into your time. Regardless of what your resource you're using, if it's built from the Bible up, you can use part of that. Don't just study it, but talk about the reflective time in the Word. And there are, if you don't have a method for doing that they can pass on, because one of the things about mentoring people is you want them to take a lot of the things that you've learned and multiply it, be able to share it with someone else. And there's two methods in there I'm not going to go through, but there's a stop, look, listen, and respond. It's self-explanatory by the thing, and there's 7 minutes with God. So those are two methods that are really simple, easy, you know, 5 to 10 minutes a day. You can, and I'm not saying just spend 5 to 10. I hate to only have 5 to 10, but some people only have 5 to 10, and that's a good starting place. But you can use the same methods for longer, too. So the next thing is we're going to look at side dishes. And the side dishes really do help with the overall, their studies for overall spiritual growth. Let me just ask you, what are some of your favorite studies, you know, that you use, or you have used in the past that you really love? What are some of those things? Anybody have
resources?
Resources?
YouTube.
What is it?
YouTube.
YouTube? Okay.
YouTube.
Oh, YouTube.
Go on and just
oh, yeah.
Start.
YouTube is great.
Yeah,
Bible verse every day, studies, devotionals, all kinds of stuff. YouTube is great.
Middling classes.
What?
Middling classes. Sometimes they give you materials, so you can use those materials for small groups.
Okay, good.
Corporation Timothy.
Operation Timothy is good. Yeah, that's 2 Timothy 2:2 is built on. So yeah, that's great.
I had some mentors take me through something called the Truth Project.
Oh yeah, that's really good. It's like an apologetics kind of thing. It is really strong. Truth Project is great. So you start thinking about some of these good things, and we're going to share with you a few things that especially target the spiritual growth areas that we have shown you here. Kind of what it takes in a mentoring, you know, if you're in the spiritual side of the mentoring part, although all of life is spiritual, so I even hate to say that, but that is progressive. One of the things that we have found in resources is that it's really important to try to build successively. You know, a lot of times people land in a church or somewhere and they jump into this and they jump into that, and some of the foundational building blocks are missing. So, you know, in think about where they are and trying to progressively move them up and very intentionally. And scripture memory would be one of the first things we would say is try to get, you know, that is so helpful in terms of meditating, reflective. Take, I was talking to our younger son, he's 25, a couple days ago, and I said, Stephen, you know, just find one thing from your quiet time and just that will stick with you and just think about it. You know, think about it during the day, during the week. And it's just amazing how much it just helps to find that one thing. Take it with you, memorize it. But there's a couple of memory tools that we have found really good. Actually, Nancy Taylor, I don't know if any of you know her, okay, you do. She's real active in women's ministry. You know, she has a great book on scripture memory and great little ways, mnemonic devices and all kinds of stuff. It's awesome. Another thing that we have over there, if you want to take a look at it, is that it's a TMS, it's a Navigator scripture memory thing, and it's awesome too. It has scripture cards and all kinds of really good things for scripture memory. Aside from scripture memory, some studies that are progressive that are really helpful. We have done Growing in Christ. This is like if there is a person that you lead to Christ or a brand new Christian, Growing in Christ is a book. It's actually a book that has two books in it. You see it coded green and blue. The green one has 5 lessons. The blue has 7. The Growing in Christ actually has all 12 together, so you can use it either way. But the first one, that 5, that the green one, is 5 basic lessons on assurance. And it's something that, and it's 5 verses that every single Christian should have. I mean, it is just foundational. It is the foundation of every single house or the body of Christ is built on. And so there are assurances that Satan, you know, comes at us against. So it's really, they're really great things to have. So we would really encourage you on that, if not that, to take those verses. And they come in all kinds of ways, like a hand size, just a tiny, like, little booklet that's, you know, less than $1 to buy. They have it with the tear-off scriptures, you know, little cards that go with them. Anyway, it is a great resource for basic Christians, for new Christians. Design for Discipleship, I think your church uses that as a basic discipleship tool. It is also in Spanish, and the Spanish version we have up there, too. Spanish version is only like $1 a little book, so they're really inexpensive and great to use. But Design for Discipleship is wonderful in that it takes the all of the discipleship lessons. You can go through the whole thing, all 7 books. It's really 6 with the leadership guide in a year, but they're kind of packed small, so it's not a big commitment to go through any one book. And you don't have to go through every one of them. If you have somebody who's been in church for a long time and you feel like has all the foundational stuff, then maybe you look through the books and start with 2 or 3 or something like that. You don't have to do all of them, but they're really great too. And then the 2-7 series is another series. It has 3 books. It's really the same content as the DFT, and these are all successive basic spiritual growth that cover all of those things on the wheel, the basic things that move us forward in our Christian growth. And the 2-7 series has, if you go to NAPRES website or if you just look it up, there are some great tools online to help lead that, downloadable resources. It's it is so strong that it's actually been translated into like 35 languages. It's used in 45 countries around the world. It's a huge resource and has been for a long time. It's been updated, I don't know how many times. Women's Journey is a women's discipleship curriculum that is targeted. It was written by women for women. It is much more relational than a lot of discipleship material, so women really love it. It's over there, you can see the covers are really beautiful. It's being reprinted again, and again, if you go on the website, there's a lot of tips for leading it, tips for, you know, additional tips to go with the series that are very helpful for leaders. That last one in the series, it's Bridges, Crossroads, and Friends is the last one. And Friends, a lot of churches just use it to train women leaders. All of these resources, too, build in multiplication. They're all, you know, kind of built in the reproducing parts, so multiplication.
So the next one is a new series called Every Man a Warrior. And again, it's a 3-book series that focuses on, the first one is really about your walk with God. The second one is about marriage and raising children. And then the third one covers things like money, sex, work, hard times, that sort of thing. And, you know, it's been out for a couple years and has already sold more than 60,000 copies, which is a lot for a Christian book, not by a Chuck Swindoll or a mainstream author like that. So it's an excellent resource that we're seeing lots of good use for. Another one is the Life Change series, and this there's a, one of these on every single book in the Bible. So from Genesis to Revelation, we just came out with the last set of these this past year. And so it's a really great foundational way to get a look at every book in the Bible. And so you pick a particular area out that somebody might be struggling with that a book is. So for example, maybe their prayer spoke is weak. And so Luke is a great place to go to for prayer. You know, think about that's where the Lord's Prayer is, and disciples asked him to teach us how to pray, that sort of thing. So that's a really great way to fill in some pieces that people are missing. Another resource is The Ways of the Alongsider. We did a workshop on this here at Midnight Madness a couple years ago. It's actually going into its fourth reprinting. And it's really about walking alongside somebody. You know, if you ask the average person, hey, Ted, could you disciple me? Your answer might be, gosh, I can't do that because nobody ever discipled me. But if instead the question is, hey, could we walk alongside, do life together? You know, you might ask me some meaningful questions along the way. It's a lot easier to get engaged with somebody in that way. So this teaches you some of those kinds of tools. It's especially helpful for millennials who, you know, a lot of them, and I'm not saying this to be critical, but for many folks, you know, they have 1,000 friends on Facebook, but they don't really have a lot of really close, intimate personal friends. So this book teaches you the kind of things that you need to be able to develop that. And this can also be used to train mentors. So as you're looking at growing in the mentoring relationship, this is a great way to do that.
We're kind of flying through these things. You might not be able to tell, but we want to have a little time for you to ask some questions too. But the dessert is the last course. It kind of finishes off the meal, and those are just lots of tools and resources. But the word hand that we mentioned is a great thing just to have around and use with people. There's another one, another resource we put on the table that's one verse of evangelism. It takes Romans 6:23 and will help you to, with the people that you're mentoring, help them to learn to share Christ. Sometimes, you know, and Ian, you may have equipping church things here at the church to, I'm sure you do, to help people learn how to share your faith. But you can do it in just one verse even. There's an app that is on the bridge illustration too. It uses more than one verse, but that's another thing. But you, a lot of times you know, as a mentor, one of the things you need to do is to really encourage them in sharing their faith. And they may, you know, the whole time, they may be also witnessing, and it's, you don't have to push them into sharing their faith with this one verse evangelism or anything, but help them to understand that evangelism is more than just sharing the words of the gospel, that it really is sharing our lives. And that, you know, like 1 Thessalonians 2:7 says, we love you so much that we shared with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. And, you know, to be intentional with the people around them, that could hopefully lead to something with these words. But, you know, don't try to, you know, don't ever give them the idea that, boy, they need to just go out and just use this verse. But when it, you know, but when it's time to that a person really wants to start the journey with Jesus, this is a great way to do it. And then there's another tool. Let me see if I've got on my phone. I'm not sure where I put it. Okay, so the next, do you have, how many of you guys have smartphones? Everybody? Yeah, so if you go to discipleshiplibrary.com, get your phone out right now, because this is such a great resource. Discipleshiplibrary.com. Discipleship, go to, if you don't have it, that's fine. You go to discipleshiplibrary.com, and we're just going to show you a couple of things here, because these are amazing resources. We just found out about these a couple of years ago. These were some people that have been navigators and some others. It's not our site, but they manage it, update it. They put current material on as well as tons of classic talks on just about everything you could think of. But especially good is like if you diagnose, wow, this person is, you know, strong or weak or really needs to work in a certain area, and you want to find a book of the Bible or an area to emphasize. But boy, I'm not sure. I don't remember what. You know, I don't remember what the book of Jeremiah really is trying to say. I think there's a verse there, but I'm not really sure what that whole message is. Would that be appropriate? Well, there are a four-minute message on every book of the Bible. You can listen on your MP3 or, you know, just, you know, it is just a great, great resource. If you're driving down the road, you know, you can download it on your phone and just listen to messages on things. You know, as you're mentoring people, I have found that when we are mentoring people, it often brings shortfalls in my own life. I think, wow, I really need to kind of help them in this area, but I need help myself. Or, you know, I would love to go there, but I don't feel strong enough. So I want to strengthen myself. So it is a great resource for all kinds of stuff. Were you going to say something too?
Yeah, I was going to just say, like this one right here, the word hand illustration. So that picture, the half page that you have in front of you, this guy actually walks through and tells you how to use it and everything like that. This happens, I was telling Ted, and I'm sorry, I can't see
him. Yvonne.
Yvonne, that's it, sorry. Before this, the guy who did this is the oldest living Pearl Harbor survivor. He's 100, he'll be 103 this October. He's also navigator number 6. So you know, you can hear some messages that are just incredible in terms of ways to learn how to use these resources.
So the last thing we wanted to do was just to share a few tips in mentoring people. And the first thing that we wanted to do was just to ask you, like, best practices. What have you found in either being mentored or in mentoring someone that has been helpful to you that you might want to share with the other room, the others in the room? Because there's, you know, you may know more about this than we do. So what are some tips that you have learned about mentoring?
I haven't done it, so.
You haven't done it, okay.
I haven't been mentored, so I don't have any.
Okay.
To draw on there.
Well, I'll tell you, one tip is to go in as a learner. we all need to go in as learners. You know, that's a very
helpful thing. All the way into life.
What?
All the way into life.
Yes, all the way into
all
life.
The way to the end.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Doing something that they like, such as, just as an example, if he or she likes going to the gym, you know, go to the gym with him or
double benefit, going to the gym with them. You get the
well,
workout.
That's just one. Other one, maybe going to eat tacos, which is
right, which is a triple benefit.
Yeah, that's good.
I've always found if someone shows vulnerability on their side, it encourages me to do the same.
Good. That is a huge tip for the vulnerability part. You know, we have a high value on being authentic, and there's some reasons for that that go back in my history. But I always thought that vulnerability was kind of the same thing as transparency. But there's two areas that are really important in being authentic with people that really encourages their development as well as ours. And being transparent is when I tell you something about me that I didn't already know, that you didn't already know. So I'm being transparent with you. Vulnerability is when you invite that person to share something with you about yourself that you didn't know. So it's those, both of those things are really important in that relationship. So I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, transparency and vulnerability.
The church on Wednesdays, they have something called Meet Link, okay, which is a whole bunch of classes.
Uh-huh.
And also it's a good way to do that is inviting these new believers, you know, to come to these classes, and afterwards, you know, when the class is done, you know, just spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes with that person.
Good.
And talking about the material that was learned.
Yeah, that is great too, and brings up another great tip. Whatever resource you're using, really focus on application. That is a huge value of mentoring, is that you are helping them to apply the word, apply the teaching in the context of life. And that's a hard part, right? You know, I mean, we all have probably a heck of a lot of knowledge that we have not learned to apply. You know, we've known it, but it maybe it's even our heart, but it's not fully there because we're not, I mean, every one of those spokes, most of you, because you are very Christ-centered and you're here teaching and are willing to mentor, you know, we're all, you know, pretty strong in those areas, but we still mess up in the application part. So and that's where community is so important, fellowship, that we all have those kind of people to walk alongside us, and mentors are especially helpful for that. And to speak truth, be able to speak, you know, and that's something you need to have, you know, have a conversation with them about and say, you know, is this okay with you? I'd like for you to do the same with me. Be vulnerable. Ask them to speak into your life. I would love to be able to have, will I have permission to speak into your life if I see something? I want you to speak into mine. I want us to have that kind of relationship. I need it. So, Good. Other tips?
When you say speak into my life, or you talk, what are you having them say to you? What are you
okay.
Having them look at you and say, well, you know, you're telling me to do all this stuff, but what's the disconnect? Are you asking them to really look into what they're seeing coming out?
Well, if we're living life together, and if they observe something that I, an area that maybe, I'll give you a good example, okay? And this would be, Roy sees this. This is probably one of the areas that I struggle with the most. My mother lives with us, and she is 80 years old, and she is wonderful. She helps us so much, and I love having her live with us. But she does live with us, and sometimes, you know, there are tensions. There are things that come up, and I get impatient. I am not a very patient person. I need to be more patient. I read a scripture this morning that talks about patience and, you know, humility. And so sometimes my response to her is not loving like it needs to be. And sometimes I don't even realize that. You know, I honestly don't. It's just like I said something. I thought I was being nice, and Roy will say, lovingly tell me, you know, Margaret, you probably could have said that a little differently. Because I've invited him. We want each other to, we pick up on something, because we're all very good at self-deception. You know, it is very easy for us to not see places where we need growth in. So we need other people to speak in our lives. And if we're mentoring someone, you know, our son, Stephen, is very different than I am. And, you know, he told me something. We were in Charleston with him a few weeks ago, and we were walking to a restaurant. He lives downtown Charleston. We were walking to a restaurant, and I'm walking like my normal pace, and Stephen said, Mom, slow down. You miss too much. You know, don't walk so fast. You know, and it's like, yeah, I really need to. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for telling me that, you know? But, you know, we, in our family, we're very transparent and vulnerable, and we have all given each other, you know, permission and inviting them to, you know, to speak into our lives. So
just a couple other tips that we have kind of prepared in advance to talk a little bit about. This is a really key one, that the person trumps the resource. So, you know, you have great intentions that you're going to work through a book. But a person comes and they've had a horrible week at work, or they've had a fight with, you know, a loved one, or whatever it might be. We need to be willing to set aside what our agenda was, what our plan was, and really invest in that person. Now, we still want to have an intentionality, but we, you know, we got to realize that the person trumps the resource. It's not about getting through the book. It's about seeing lives change. Margaret said already, focusing on application. Somebody once said that God doesn't need smarter sinners. So it's not about learning more stuff. It's about being changed by God's word. Asking questions. Margaret, I grew up in the information generation where we, you know, had tons of stuff poured into our heads. Sometimes you could peel it back and just dump stuff in there. But it's you can learn far more effectively by asking questions and asking people to draw their own conclusions. So expose them to God's word and then ask questions. What did you see in this passage? You know, what did you learn about yourself as you read about the woman at the well, for example, or the 10 lepers where only one was thankful, that sort of thing. So questions are huge. It's really helpful to send a text 24 hours ahead of your meeting, and that provides a reminder, but it also has a little soft accountability in there. You know, it's not a nagging mom, it's just a friend saying, hey, looking forward to getting together tomorrow for our time. That's
and talking about whatever.
Right.
If you've had a passage or something.
So that whole idea of just send a text, just communicate with them in the way that they want to be communicated with. Make it easy to succeed. And this is especially important early on. As Christians, we don't do a very good job of celebrating wins. And so especially early on in the mentoring process, make it easy. So, you know, I'm not saying that your first Bible verse should be Jesus wept, but, you know, make it easy and then celebrate those wins. So we want to really encourage people in that way. A couple of more here. Memorize scripture with them. There's nothing like having that accountability that you're working on the same verse and you're trying to make progress in that. Celebrate and affirm wins, like I said. Praying consistently. There's a book called Small Groups, Big Impact, and the guy who wrote it did a research study where he looked at the importance of preparation for small groups and all that kind of stuff. And he kind of had a control group and an experimental group. And basically what he found was the single most important thing you can do to see growth in people that come to your small groups, and so we'd apply this to a mentoring relationship as well, is to pray for them daily by name. It's way more important than doing your lesson plan, than doing, you know, any kind of preparation, is to pray for them daily by name. So can't emphasize that enough. If it's a book series, don't worry about doing all 7 books or all 3 books. Pick the one that fits them and where their life needs are right then. You know, you can always come back and fill in if that's the appropriate thing to do, or maybe you only do 1 out of 3. Understand your purpose. So a couple key things here is, are you meeting with somebody who's a brand new believer that you're trying to ground in the basics? Is it about growth? Is it a particular area? Gosh, I really want to grow in my prayer life. So that's gonna help you select the resources and the materials. And then the last thing, in terms of tips, is it really is all about reproduction. You want to be passing things on to people in our mentoring relationships so that they can turn around and do that same thing with somebody else.
So any questions, comments? We have about 3 or 4 minutes left, so.
And then we also have some copies of the majority of the materials we talked about over there that you're welcome to take a couple, these last couple of minutes and look at them, that sort of thing.
I don't have any real comments except I teach at the university level.
Okay.
And I teach a very, it's a technical kind of class, but it's for artists. And so I always put in something about that creative spirit. And I always really call it out just for what it is. Like I use Genesis 1:1 for my first lecture. And, you know, I use just a part of it, you know, and I have a very big, diverse group of religious people in that group, in that class, because they're older students and it's a night class. And I can just feel it from them. They want to learn everything, not just, they want to learn about me too. And so when I'm saying these things, I interject it and then I go back to teaching them something else. And I want to get better at finding those moments. And so if you have any resources for that, I would really be interested, because I'm doing it secular, not in a church environment. And I know already right now I have at least 2 Muslim people, 2 Buddhists for sure, probably some other Christian faiths, and some zeros, nothings.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm always, you know, bringing it up, not as a, I mean,
not a preachy, hit it over the head.
No, just kind of like, you know, I'll bring it up in terms of my kids. I'll even say, you know what my child said to me when he was about 6 years old, you know, he asked me this question, or he told me how God created the earth, you know, or something. And that's how I'll go into it from an almost an adolescent way, so that they're not thinking I'm preaching to them. So
right.
I don't want them to think I'm preaching to them.
Right, because you're not. You're sharing life.
I'm just trying to make it real.
Well, I would say just off the top of my head, one of the key things you can do there is pray for opportunities.
You know
but
what?
The other...
I liked this. I have my role. I'm going to pray for them individually.
Good.
I love that. That was great.
And then the other thing is, you know, hiding God's word in your heart so that he can bring it up in the right situation. Yes?
I work in public school. So I would agree, somebody told me, like, when I first started teaching, like, pray boldly for opportunities, but then also pray for protection over those opportunities, that the Lord would just cover that he would anoint the classroom and cover the classroom, and pray scripture over your classroom, and that has been a huge blessing, just to pray for God to, like, have them come to you with questions, and even if it's within visions and dreams or whatever he decides to do in their lives, so... Someone told me that it really encouraged me,
like that.
And so I just wanted to share.
Yeah, that is good. Another thing too, because our kids were always they've always been in secular schools until college. One of them went to Baylor, but secular schools growing up, and we had friends who were teachers, and they said they just love to have students in the classroom who are Christians, that are willing to stand up and say something. So you can pray, even talk to some of those students. Other students who are Christians, and as a teacher, you might not be able to say anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can at the university.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They're telling you about all kinds of the professors there are liberal.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
talk about Jesus and
be okay.
Yeah. Well, and if there are students that can say things or reinforce or come alongside, that's a huge help too. So.
Yeah.
Other questions or comments? All right, well, if you want to just take a couple of these last couple of minutes and take a look at some of the resources over there, and then
we can pray first and dismiss them.
Okay.
All right, well, yeah, we'll go ahead and pray, and if you want to look at them, you can, but we only have to like 2 minutes. So. Father, thanks so much for the time here, for the time that every single person has put into coming to be equipped. Father, I pray for each person here that you would just help them to leave with some ideas and to be motivated. Lord, would you bring people into their lives if they don't currently have those? Would you help them to live life alongside them in a way that they both will grow, and Lord, that we can just see your work in amazing ways and experience more and more life just like you want us to as we draw closer to you. Lord, we are so thankful. Thank you for your voice, for your spirit, and your son who lives in us. And we ask all these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right.
So thank you guys. You're welcome to look at stuff. We're here if you want to talk, but we also want to get you guys out of time.
Thanks for letting me use it.
Use it as an example. Be sure you pick up a copy of all the resources and the DVD that's on the table too, and you can take one for each of you. So.
Our time is up.
So you guys going back? So you guys going back? So you guys going back? So you guys going back?